are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Happy Thursday morning. The Minnesota Timberwolves are now 7-4 after a fantastic win over the San Antonio Spurs on Wednesday night. There's plenty to talk about from this game. It was an impressive all-around win from the Wolves. We're going to dive in and look at the key overall takeaways right off the bat. And then we'll spend a few minutes talking specifically about one Andrew Wiggins and what a revelation he's been so far this season. And I don't know that I'm going to say I'm going to eat any crow on this one, because the fact still remains that Wiggins wasn't very good for the first, five seasons of his career, but he's been awesome this year. So we're going to talk a little bit about that and what he's improved in terms of, I guess, generally just why he's better this year, what he's improved at, and what he's brought to the table for the team through the first, 11 games. And then lastly, we'll highlight the other Wolves players who had solid games in this one and take a quick peek ahead at the next few games on the schedule. So without further ado, let's get into Wolves-Spurs. This was just a really fun professional win for the Timberwolves. Minnesota led for most of the game, stemmed the tide after a Spurs run in the third quarter, pulled away late. Just enough to give the starters the last 2 to 3 minutes off from the game, which is a nice change of pace. Even the other relatively comfortable wins this year, I think there's only one clear blowout win against Washington. But other than that, it was, you know, things have stayed within a few possessions to the point where the Wolves haven't been able to truly enjoy a blowout win. And this wasn't a blowout. It was a fairly close game until late, but the Wolves were able to not only stem the tide late in the second half, but also build on their lead, extend it, you know, into close to 20 points, to the point where they were able to get Towns and Wiggins and some of those guys out of the game. The first half of the game was actually fairly back and forth. The Spurs had brief leads for much of the first half. It was really a scenario. The Spurs really never got ahead by more than a possession. I don't think they ever led by more than maybe 3 points in the entire first half. The Timberwolves did a great job hanging close and pretty much trading the Spurs blow for blow. There was a possession in which Karl Anthony Towns was fouled by Rudy Gay. Towns, this was midway through the second quarter, is probably a one possession game at the time, as it was for most of the first half. And Towns pivoted, swung his elbows, nearly hit Gay in the face, but Gay fouled him and then was called for the foul. And you could hear on the courtside mics Gay exclaim, with profanities included, that Towns needed to watch his elbows as he was shooting. And of course, on replay, Towns simply pivoted. He didn't do anything outside of, you know, clear space in a really natural way by pivoting with the ball over his head and bringing it into a scoring position. And Gay got in Towns' face. Towns got right back at him. They talked. That was it. And they each got technicals. And that was it. Things didn't escalate. It was, Towns handled it perfectly. It was another example, and this seems small, but if you're a Timberwolves fan and have watched the Wolves over the last few years, that's the sort of situation where Towns typically would just kind of smirk and walk away. And maybe in some scenarios that's better, but in this scenario, this was a case he clearly didn't do anything wrong, and he went right back at Gay. He didn't push him. There wasn't anything extra that would have gotten him ejected or in any additional trouble. He simply told Gay that he didn't do anything wrong with his elbows, and that was it. And then Towns went on to have another solid game, better than his last few games, actually. And this was a perfect game for Towns to be aggressive. The Spurs don't have anybody that can slow him down in the paint. And we'll get more into Towns' individual line, but he shot a ton of free throws and made most of them in this game. And that's not something that has been happening a lot lately. But that moment of toughness from Towns, and again, it does seem silly, but that's the sort of thing where it really does look now like Towns is just ready to go. He's ready to win games. He's not going to worry too much about, about some of that extra stuff. And he's just going to give it right back if players are going to try and give him a tough time. These veteran players are going to try and push him around, and the whole Towns' soft narrative is getting pretty tired, and clearly Towns is also tired of it. So that was an interesting moment in the second quarter. The offense throughout the game was amazing for the Timberwolves, and that has also been something that we haven't been able to say lately. there was constant movement in the offense. The most notable thing in this game wasn't necessarily like just launching a ton of threes, which they did do, and they shot the ball well early in the game, started a little bit late, but they didn't shoot as many threes as they had been. They were a little bit below their season average per game. It was more just that the offense was, there was constant flow to the offense. There were always cutters going to the basket. There were a couple of situations where Jarrett Culver beat his guy back door. He, you know, faked the dribble handoff. Wiggins had the ball at the top of above the arc, faked a dribble handoff, and Culver just simply cut back door and got a dunk or a layup at least twice in this game. I think both times assisted from Wiggins. And that's action that the Timberwolves could have been running all along and have been to some extent. But that's another thing that Jake Lehman's done really well a couple of times to get easy baskets lately, is to fake that they're going to come up and get the handoff and cut back door. And it's really hard to defend against that, especially if the Wolves are running that handoff so frequently. Sometimes it's Towns that has the ball in his hands, but they did a great job with those back cuts. And the Wolves were in some cases even overpassing, but there were a couple of, you know, pretty Towns pump fakes and passes to an open guy down low. Trevion Graham got an and one on a play like that, on a pass from Towns. It was just constant movement, constant confidence in the offensive system. And even when they were breaking threes, there was a possession, I think it was in the third quarter, where the Wolves got what seemed like six offensive rebounds in a row. I think it was actually probably three. And they ended up not even scoring on the possession. But it was stick-to-itiveness that I don't think we've seen out of this Wolves team in recent years, and kind of a microcosm of the season so far, mostly because they were missing a bunch of jumpers and coming up with rebounds simply due to hustle. This team's playing hard, and that's impossible to ignore. And it really, really matters in the long run. So that was certainly a positive development. The other thing that was notable about this game compared to recent games is that Jeff Teague was available and played in this game. He did not start. He came off the bench. Jarrett Culver again started at point guard, although Wiggins handled mostly on offense. But Jeff Teague was available, played in this game, and ultimately he played extremely well, played 23 minutes off the bench. And so wasn't overextended in this game, didn't need to be, and we'll get into his line for the game later. But he just continues to be awesome. And if it wasn't for Wiggins' resurgence, he would be the talk of the team, in that he's supporting the team's stars with just legit third star production. And in this case, it was in just 23 minutes. So that'll be really exciting. Brian Saunders after the game was asked about whether or not Teague would keep coming off the bench because of the success of Wiggins running the first team offense. And he wouldn't commit to it. He basically just said, hey, Andrew's been playing great and Jeff was great. So interesting to keep an eye on that. I would bet that Teague does end up back in the starting lineup, but maybe not quite yet. Maybe things don't get shaken up until the team goes on a brief losing streak or something like that. Why mess with something that's working? As long as Teague's cool with it, that's something you definitely want to talk through with Teague. And knowing what we know about Ryan Saunders' communication style, I'm sure that they'll talk through it, but something to keep an eye on for sure. The team overall, because of the movement, was generating decent three-point looks, and they didn't actually shoot the ball that great from beyond the arc in this game. They ultimately were just 11 of 34, which is just over 32%, and that's below their season average in terms of attempts. It actually slightly was above their season average for the season. They're shooting just 30.9 from beyond the arc. So compared to some of their recent performances, most notably the 6% shooting in their last home game. This was fine. This was probably about what you're going to see from this Wolves team. Is, you know, maybe the number of threes attempts per game comes down slightly, and the shooting percentage comes up just a little bit, but overall, solid offense. And then the defense was we talked about this in the preview for the game. The Timberwolves defense is geared towards drop coverage in the pick and roll and allowing mid-range jumpers. Ideally, if the defense is being played properly, they're not wide open mid-range jumpers, because NBA players, at least the guards that are running pick and roll, should be able to hit those at a fairly high clip. They should still be contested. And the Wolves are struggling to contest guys like D'Angelo Russell most recently, last Friday night. And so in this particular game, I was worried about Derek White. I was worried about Deontay Murray and anybody who was going to be initiating offense for the Spurs getting a bunch of open jumpers. And well, DeMar DeRozan had a really good game, and he did He did hit some open jumpers. LaMarcus Aldridge had a couple of really open mid-range shots that he drained. The Wolves did a pretty good job of contesting those mid-range shots and protected the rim extremely well in this game. And most impressively, grabbed defensive rebounds and out-rebounded the Spurs by six. They started the season, started the game struggling in that category, and it's what allowed the Spurs to hang around. But that second half, the Wolves just simply went to work on the glass and out-rebounded the Spurs fairly easily in the second half of the game. Next up, we're going to talk about the Wolves' best player over the past week plus, and it isn't Karl-Anthony Towns. Andrew Wiggins has been a revelation this season. We've talked about it on this podcast, especially lately, but if you throw out the first two games of the season, you could argue that Wiggins has been every bit as good as Karl-Anthony Towns and every bit of an impact player for the Wolves so far this season. And he's improved in nearly every facet if you look at how he's been contributing to games and what he's been bringing to the game. And we may look back on Jeff Teague's injury or illness, I suppose, and Shabazz Napier's injury. And while the Wolves went 2-2 in Teague's absence, and you know, I really hope that they would have beaten the Memphis Grizzlies even without him. But you look back at the games that, at those four games, and we may say that Andrew Wiggins getting the opportunity, and actually Jarrett Culver too, getting the opportunity to initiate offense and be much more involved and have to look to pass to their teammates, that may end up being a really positive thing in the long run for both of those guys' development. And let's start by fully acknowledging that I've been really hard on Andrew Wiggins on this podcast over the past couple of months, just generally when talking about him. And then also in the past few years as the editor of the site, co-expert at Dunking with Wolves, I've long been a big Andrew Wiggins critic because he has been vastly overrated as a volume scorer, hasn't done anything else, has been a poor rebounder for his size and athleticism, not a willing passer, a lackadaisical defender, too often settling for those mid-range jumpers, too often contested mid-range jumpers. And while he's been a solid post player, he hasn't really showed much interest in playing in the post and instead just kind of dribbling out and shooting mid-range jumpers. The three-point shooting has been streaky when he's actually shot three-pointers. There's plenty of things to complain about with Andrew Wiggins. And he had the one season before Butler came where he improved just a little bit. Since then, he's been regressing pretty drastically, and he just hasn't been good over the first five seasons of his career. And that's, I'm still acknowledging that. I'm not going to pretend that that's not the case, but we have to call a spade, and Andrew Wiggins is playing, and I know it's been 11 games. He's playing like an all-star. If he plays like this, if he averages 26 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, shoots, you know, above league average from three-point range and plays decent defense, he might be an all-star this year. And he should be if he plays that way. If he's shooting, his two-point shooting percentage right now is 53%. For his career before this season, Andrew Wiggins' two-point percentage was 46.7%. So he's improved that by 6.5% so far this season. His three-point percentage specifically for his career coming into the season was 33.2%. And that's up by almost 3% as well. He's at 36.1. And that's a little bit more of an incremental improvement, but the quality of his three-point attempts and actually the number of three-point attempts, he's shooting 6.5 a game this season, that's way up. But the more impressive thing to me is the two-point percentage, because Wiggins is not taking very many mid-range jumpers. He's getting to the rim, shooting the ball at the rim. It's been well documented that his attempts at the rim have gone down almost annually since he's been in the league. And his dunks have gone down. If you look at the number of dunks that he's had over the course of his career, he had 84 dunks in his second season in the league. The next year, 77. The next year, 58. Last year, he had 39 dunks. This is one of the probably top five most athletic guys in the league. 6'7", has the ball in his hands a ton, high usage rate, 39 dunks. It's inexcusable. He's already got 6 this season, puts him on pace to, you know, eclipse that 39. Maybe not by a ton, but still eclipse it. The bigger thing is his number of shots at the rim that continue to increase. It's only the 0-3 foot is only increased slightly this year over last year, the full season, in terms of the percentage of his attempts that are coming at the rim. But his percentage of attempts from between 3 and 10 feet away from the rim, last season only 14.6% of Wiggins' shots were coming at the rim. This year, 21.7% so far. That's a significant increase. It's essentially a 50% increase year over year in terms of shots from under 10 feet. He's getting into the paint. He's drawing fouls. I still wish he would dunk the ball more than the layups that he shoots, but he's been making his floaters. When he gets to the rim, if he would just turn the ball over and dunk it, he would have less layups that pop out on him. And that's maybe my only thing that I'm going to complain about today about Andrew Wiggins. He's getting to the free throw line at a clip. Still not a, you know, early in his career, he was getting to the free throw line 5, 6, even 7 times a game in his second season. He's not quite at 5 a game now, but it's still an improvement over the past 2 seasons. And he's shooting his free throws at a better rate than at his last 2 seasons. There is not much to say about Andrew Wiggins that wouldn't be positive right now. He is distributing the ball extremely well. He's handling the ball well in the pick and roll, making smart decisions. It's very rare that he's just made a bad play. He had one bad turnover that I can think of in the Spurs game, and where he just threw the ball right to a defender, an on-ball defender. It was a bad, just a lazy pass. And he had, I think, maybe 2 forced mid-range jumpers. And the fact that I can remember those specific plays tells me that he had a great game and is playing extremely well. It's too early to really talk about like win shares in the context of the league, but let's just say he's tracking to where you could make a legitimate argument for him as an all-star if he continues to do this over the next few weeks. And it's legitimately given the Wolves a 1B to Karl Anthony Towns 1A. For the season so far, I already mentioned his shooting percentages, but everything else across the board is going to be up for him year over year at this point in terms of per game numbers, in terms of shooting percentages, advanced metrics, basically everything. I think literally the only per game number that's slightly down is steals per game. And I don't know that that's a function of Andrew Wiggins not playing as good of defense as much as it is the Wolves have more perimeter defenders now, and Wiggins has been guarding the point guard spot more and hasn't been getting in passing lanes and things like that. But just fantastic so far from Andrew Wiggins. And I'm 100% willing to say that on this podcast before the season, I said that I thought the Wolves would try and trade Wiggins, that they should try and trade Wiggins, but that I also thought that what they were going to try and do is see if Ryan Saunders, David Vanterpool, the new coaching staff, Gerson Rosas, if they could turn him around and either build his trade value where he has a decent season and they can move him, or if they could, the small, and I think I called it less than 10% chance that he could turn into a star, and then they would hang on to him and they would have 2 stars. And to this point, it sure looks like that's what we're going to get. And if I was wrong about that, I'm willing to admit it. Andrew Wiggins has been great so far this season, and now he's obviously got to sustain it. That's the obvious caveat to all of this, but so far the early returns are really good, and it's another example to why culture matters and scheme matters and holding people accountable matters, and all of those things appear to have made a really big difference for Andrew Wiggins. All right, before we move on and talk about the other Wolves players who had good games in this one and take a brief peek ahead at the next few games, I wanted to mention our friends at MyBookie again. Attention past, present, and future MyBookie players. During Thanksgiving week, MyBookie is offering a risk-free bet on the Bears-Lions game. Simply choose a team against the spread for up to $250. If you win, congrats. You've got extra holiday spending money. If you lose, congrats to you as well. MyBookie will give you all your money back. It's a no-brainer because you literally can't lose. It's no risk and all gravy. It doesn't matter whether you're an experienced player or a first-time customer, MyBookie welcomes all to come play. So quit waiting around and sign up today. Do you find yourself wanting to sports bet but still have lots of questions? Don't sweat it. MyBookie's patient customer service team can walk you through the process. And the best part is, if you join this Thanksgiving week, you'll still have one last shot to take advantage of their incredible sign-up offer. Just log on to MyBookie.ag and make your first deposit with promo code LOCKEDONNBA. And MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar to jumpstart your bankroll, and that's on top of the risk-free bet. Let's repeat that. That's a guaranteed deposit match and a risk-free bet for Thanksgiving only. So if you're a true football fan, you do not want to let this opportunity pass you by. You simply can't lose. It's mybookie.ag. Make your first deposit with promo code LOCKEDONNBA, and MyBookie will match your deposit. Make sure you do your part to support your team this season. Hop on the gravy train and get in on the action with MyBookie. You play, you win, you get paid. All right, in our last segment, we're going to talk briefly about some of the other impressive individual performances for the Timberwolves in this one. We talked a lot about Wiggins generally in this particular game. He had 30 points on 12 of 23 shooting. He made six of his first seven shots, and then there was a stretch in the middle of the game. I think he was 2 for 10. And for a minute, it looked like same old Andrew Wiggins. He had a couple of finger rolls kind of pop out, you know, in and out. There were a couple of questionable jump shot attempts. He clanked an open three. But then he came on strong at the end of the game and was a big part of putting the Spurs away. He was 4 of 7 from beyond the arc. He did only attempt 2 free throws in this one, but made them both. Perhaps even more impressive, 8 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals, a block, and only 2 turnovers in a team-high 32 minutes. He was also a team-high plus 24, if we want to talk about individual game plus-minus. But just an all-around outstanding performance from Wiggins. Karl Anthony Towns was very good in this one, too. 28 points on just 15 shots. He was 7 of 15 from the floor. And he also had another... He's had some really bad luck on those target center rims lately. He had some more... several shots that went in and out. He was 3 of 9 from beyond the arc, 11 of 13 from the free throw line, which is a welcome sight for Timberwolves fans because Towns hadn't been getting to the line that often. And when he was, he just wasn't making free throws at a clip that we're used to seeing from Karl Anthony Towns. He is finally up to 6.5 attempts a game and 73.8% from the free throw line, which is a huge jump, but still way below where we're used to seeing him. His average free throws per game now is a full free throw ahead of last year. So he's finally, even though he's spending more time on the perimeter, he's drawing more fouls down low. I'm going to attribute that mostly to him crashing the glass on offense. His offensive rebounds per game are still a little bit lower than they are for his career, but he's of late, the past few games, been getting into the paint more often, trying to curl offensive rebounds and getting fouled on putbacks, and that's going to make a difference in the long run. Clearly, that free throw shooting is going to bounce back. He's a career, you know, almost 85% free throw shooter, 84 plus coming into the season, so he'll be in that neighborhood again. So just a solid performance, 11 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals for Towns. Other notables, Jeff Teague, we mentioned him. He had 18 points on 6 of 10 shooting off the bench in just 23 minutes. He was ready to pull the trigger. He shot 4 threes in this one, only made one of them, but half the battle is being willing to shoot. And as a career above league average 3-point shooter, that's going to matter if he's willing to shoot the ball. He was a plus 10 in those 23 minutes, had 6 assists and only 1 turnover, 2 steals, 2 rebounds, was active, was finding cutters, was running the pick and roll, was pump faking believably as if he was actually going to shoot the ball, which is something that we didn't see the last year or so out of Teague. Just a really encouraging game from him. And he was doing this before he got sick too, before he came down with that illness and missed 4 games. I mean, if you look at the advanced metrics, they suggest that he's actually been the Wolves' second best player this year, even ahead of Wiggins. And I don't think it's fair to say that with the 4 extra games that Wiggins has played and just how much more Wiggins has had the ball in his hands even than Teague. But Teague's had an extremely solid season, and in a contract year, he's trying to get that last multi-year deal probably this offseason, and probably not from the Timberwolves. But if he can be a legitimate third star for this team, then that makes this with Covington kind of, as he continues to his health continues to improve, that makes this a playoff team. If Teague plays like he's playing right now for the season, this is a playoff team, and there's no way around that. Again, he's played 7 games, and we've seen ups and downs from Teague in the past. So caution there, but still a great game for him. Jake Layman had 16 points off the bench, 7 of 9 shooting, did a lot of his damage as a cutter. He only made 1 3-pointer in 3 attempts. So this was mostly done in the paint, had a couple of dunks, had a couple of steals in this game. And was just really active. And that's where he's going to do most of his damage, is as a cutter. He's just an okay 3-point shooter and very streaky. They're going to run some plays to get him open jumpers, to get him involved in the offense. And also just because this team is trying to shoot threes, and that's a positive thing. But he's going to do a lot of his damage in the paint as a cutter. And so this was a really solid performance for him. Jarrett Culver was the other really A-grade player in this game. He had 12 points, 6 of 10 shooting, had 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 0 turnovers again for him. He had 2 blocks and a steal. He's really been good over the past, I don't know, week and a half or so, and has kind of figured out how to play as a professional. It really seems like he's comfortable. He's shooting more of these floaters. He's getting to the rim more often. He's cutting well without the ball, not forcing as many jumpers. He did shoot 2 threes and miss both of them in this game, and hasn't been good from beyond the arc this season, but is finding a balance where he's initiating offense and not forcing things either. So really solid game from Jarrett Culver. And those are the key performances that stood out. Covington had another quiet night, 10 points, 5 rebounds, but just 23 minutes, 2 of 4 from beyond the arc. All 10 of his points are in the first half. But as mentioned earlier, just an impressive win. The Spurs had that third quarter push where they came back from down double digits, went ahead, and the Timberwolves stemmed the tide, pulled back ahead, and then led for the rest of the game and pulled away towards the end. So that's extremely positive to see. A good win against a conference opponent, a solid, well-coached team, obviously, in the Spurs. So just feel really good about that one. The Wolves next up on Friday night will host the Washington Wizards, who they beat by, I don't know, something like 30 a couple weeks ago without Towns. I guess they only won by 22, but it was not actually that close. Towns, that was the first game of his suspension, and that was on the road. So it would be easy to look past this one. Hopefully the Wolves don't, because 24 hours after that, they've got the Houston Rockets on the second half of a back-to-back, thankfully also at home. So the Wolves have their first three-game homestand of the season, but there is a back-to-back involved. It'd be really good to pick up that Wizards win fairly easily on Friday, give the starters some rest for Saturday's game against Houston, as that's going to be a really tough game. At least going 2-1 on this homestand would be a really positive thing to take away. So here's hoping that maybe Shabazz Napier gets back this weekend as well. And so the Wolves can just add another good player to the rotation and go from there. That's all we have for you today here on Dunking with Wolves. We'll be back tomorrow morning to preview the weekend's games. We've got two games to look at for the weekend, as mentioned. So that will be our focus for Friday's show. Thanks once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.